Thank the Lord, salvation is once and for all. Tonight we're going to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter numbers 26. As we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, we're going to look at the biblical truth regarding the Lord's table this evening. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 29. Here we have the Lord's words as he instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Verse 29, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would nourish us this evening with good doctrine and truth. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to avoid the apostasy and grave error and false teaching of this day. Lord, help us to be people of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to be people that hide our Word in your heart and Lord, that contend for the faith in the day in which we live. Lord, help us now to rejoice in your truth and, Lord, to heed the warnings of the false teaching of the day. Lord, help us to be better prepared to be witnesses, Lord, of our wonderful Saviour in the day in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as you know, on Sunday nights we have been looking at the subject of apostasy. Now, throughout the year, we're also going to be looking at specific areas of apostasy, specific false teaching that is common today. Because we not only need to understand that there have been many that have been departing from the faith and have departed from the faith, but also we need to know what those errors are, don't we? We need to know what those errors are. Now, as we come to the Lord's table tonight, I believe it would be appropriate to look at the false teaching that's predominantly around taught today, that is false teaching regarding what the Lord's table is. And I believe the Roman Catholic Church is the main proponent of false teaching regarding what the Lord's table is. And we know absolutely for sure the Roman Catholic Church is a perfect example of those who have rejected and denied the truth. Those who have certainly rejected the truth of God's word and have embraced error in a deliberate rejection. And you might be here this morning, you might say, "Pastor, well, what does that mean to me? I'll never become a Catholic." Don't be so sure, my friends, because of the fact of the matter is the Catholic Church is behind the drawing in and the establishment of a one-world religion. What they're doing is inviting everyone who is a believer to come back to Rome, to come back to what they say is the one true church. And I know independent Baptists, or those who were once in independent Baptist churches. I think of one particular family today that is back in the Catholic Church after they were in an independent Baptist church. They've gone back because they have believed the lie that that is the one true church. As you look at the Catholic Church, they have lots of formalized worship services and everything seems so regal and everything seems so formal. Many people are fooled into thinking that that must be the authentic Church of God because of the appearance, because of the ceremonial formality. But as we look into the Word of God today, I'd like us to look at the error of the Eucharist. The error of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is basically what the Catholic Church teaches is the Lord's table. What do they teach, first of all? What is the error of the Eucharist? And then what is the truth of the Bible? That's what we're going to look at tonight. Now, I had the blessing in my final year of Bible college of basing my thesis on the sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church. And so we're going to be looking at some things that I've prepared for that. And I've resourced all my references from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Just like Coastline Baptist Church has an Articles of Faith that outlines exactly what we believe and what we believe according to the Word of God, the Catholic Church also has a Statement of Faith. And that's what they call the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It is a thick book. You can buy it yourself and perhaps at a local St. Vinny's. And you can buy that book. It was written by and approved by Cardinal Ratzinger, and he was the former Pope before the current Pope. And this is their certified, bona fide, ratified statement of faith. Everything the Catholic Church believes and what they stand by is written in this book. So if you ever want to know what they believe and what references, verses they reference, it's found in this document. And that's what I'll be sourcing this evening. Now, when it comes to the Eucharist, this is what the Roman Catholic Church says, that it's the central and most important sacrament of the sacraments. They say that it is the most blessed sacrament, the sacrament of sacraments. They say that the Eucharist is exalted as the source and the summit of the Christian life. Those of you who have a background in Catholicism, just like myself, you would know that that is the focal point of the Mass, the Eucharist, the serving of the body and the blood on the altar of the church. And that is the focal point of the Mass, and that is also the focal point of Catholicism. Now, according to Catholic theology, when the Lord said, right here in Matthew chapter 26, "Take, eat, this is my body, and over the wine, for this is my blood," they believe that the Lord changed these elements into his literal body and literal blood. They believe then Christ offered these elements, which now are his literal body and blood, as a sacrifice on the altar to God the Father, and then he included the apostles in his own offering and told them to repeat this regularly by saying, "This do in remembrance of me." So the Catholic Church clearly believes they are being faithful to what the Lord told us to do here in Matthew 26. And you need to realize that they do use verses from the Bible. They do base their beliefs on the Bible. And we need to make sure we understand what God says in the Bible. Amen? Because don't be fooled. The apostates of today, they do reference the Word of God. They do use the Word of God. They just don't make up things, but they do reference the Word of God, and they mix error with truth. Well, what is the error of the Roman Catholic Eucharist? Now, there are three aspects to the Catholic Eucharist that we need to understand. What do they believe the Lord's table is? And what do they understand that Matthew 26 says? Well, firstly, the Catholic Church believes that the Eucharist is an expression of thanksgiving. It is an expression of thanksgiving. The word Eucharist comes from the Greek Eucharista, which means to be thankful. And it means thanksgiving. Now, here at Coastline Baptist Church, we believe that to be true. This is a time of thankfulness, a time of remembrance. And when you speak to Catholics, they will certainly, if they know what they believe, they will certainly tell you, "Hey, that's what we believe too. We believe it is a time of remembrance. We believe that it is a time of thanksgiving." But let me warn you, don't get thrown by that, because that's not all they believe. That's just one aspect of the Catholic Eucharist. There's always error mixed with truth, and you need to guard your hearts as Christians. Understand that there will be some truth, a measure of truth, but it will be mixed with grave error. Thanksgiving is the first aspect, but secondly, the Catholic Eucharist is also all about sacrifice. It is a sacrificial memorial of Christ. According to Catholic theology, the Eucharist is not just simply a remembrance of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, but it is a continuation of the same sacrifice into the present. It is the continuation of Christ's sacrifice on the cross into the present day. Let me quote a passage from you from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, page 381, if you'd like to know. The Catholic Church teaches that the Eucharist is a true sacrifice. And here's the quote. "The same Christ who offered himself once in a bloody manner on the altar of the cross is contained in the Eucharist and offered in an unbloody manner. So the same Jesus Christ that was crucified on the cross, that shed his blood, they believe it's the same Jesus Christ that is sacrificed on the very altar of the Roman Catholic Church. It is a continuing sacrifice. That's what the Catholic Church teaches. The Catholic Church teaches that during the sacrament of the Mass, the Eucharist, Christ is the victim upon the altar of the Church, who is, now notice this, he is represented to God the Father by the priest and by the faith of the Church. So during the Mass, Christ is crucified every time the Eucharist is presented, and the priest lifts up that Eucharist and breaks it. They believe that that's the literal body of Christ, and he's being re-crucified every time the Mass is celebrated. He's being re-sacrificed on the altar of the Church. Now, it gets even worse. Listen to this. They say this in the Roman Catholic Catechism, that since the priest is a part of that ceremony and the entire faith of the Church, Christ's sacrifice at the Mass takes on a new value. Do you know what that means? That means they're saying that the sacrifice on the altar of the Roman Catholic Church is greater than Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Because only he was involved in the sacrifice on Calvary, but the whole church, the faith of the church, and the priests are involved in the Mass. So they believe that it presents to God a new value in the sacrifice of Christ. My friends, that is absolute heresy, as we will see. But that's in fact what they believe. They believe that the Eucharist is a time of thanksgiving. They believe it is a time of sacrifice. And as often as they present Christ in the Eucharist, listen to this, they believe that is a continuation of Christ's redemptive work. As long as they continue the ceremony, the sacrament of the Eucharist, redemption is still available for all. If it stops, then Christ's redemption stops. They believe it's a continuing sacrifice. Thanksgiving, sacrifice, and thirdly, Christ's presence. This is what they believe. The third aspect of the Eucharist contains the literal presence of Christ in the sacrament. Now, if you've ever seen a Catholic Mass or ever been to one, you will notice that the priest, he lifts up the Eucharist. He lifts it up very high for everyone to see. Usually it's a larger wafer, I'll use that word. And then, as the priest lifts up that Eucharist, he prays to the Father, and he asks God the Father to send the Holy Spirit upon the bread and upon the wine, and they use alcoholic wine, upon the bread and upon the wine, so that they may become the literal body and the literal blood of Jesus Christ. They believe when the priest does that, something miraculous takes place. And they describe this as by a word which is transubstantiation. It's a big word, transubstantiation. They believe that as the priest offers up the bread and the wine and prays over it, that God miraculously changes the wafer and the wine into the literal body of Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice this. Here's another quote from the Catholic Catechism, page 395. Under the consecrated species of bread and wine, Christ himself, living and glorious, is present in a true, real, and substantial manner. They use some big words that are hard to understand. But they say he's really present within the bread and wine, his body and blood, with his soul and divinity, is present within the Eucharist. Now, listen to this. From the point that the priest prays, the whole entire presence of Christ is believed to continually exist within those elements. Now, that means every single crumb of that wafer biscuit contains Christ's entire body, and every drop of wine contains his entire blood. Now, how many of you have ever been to a Roman Catholic Mass before? Yeah, most of you? Okay. Now, you may have noticed that when the priest breaks that wafer and also presents the wine, did you ever notice how he sweeps all the crumbs into the cup? Have you ever been curious about why he does that? This is why. Because they believe that every single crumb contains the entire body of Christ. Every single drop of wine contains his entire blood. So they scrape all the crumbs, teenagers, into that cup. because they believe if one crumb is wasted, then it's an absolute rejection of the body of Christ. So then the priest drinks up everything. And if there's any leftovers, and in fact, you know, there's the small wafer biscuits, if there's any leftovers of those, because they are also the body of Christ, they place that usually on the right-hand side of the church, the front of the church, in a small box which has a red light. Has anyone ever seen that before? That's right. It's a small box with a red light, and they believe that Christ is present within the Eucharist and it's kept for safekeeping in that little red box. Now, I can't tell you what happens to those consecrated wafer biscuits after that point. I'm not sure. They may throw it out as hypocrites. I'm not sure. Or they may give it out at the next service, but they need to consecrate it once again. I don't know. But you see, the Catholic is taught to worship the Eucharist, to worship that wafer biscuit practically. Why? Because they believe it's Christ's literal body. Here's a quote from Pope Pius X to the Eucharistic Congress in London in 1908. Have a listen to this. He says, "The divine Eucharist should be loved, should be worshipped, and partaken of more and more among the Christian people. In this august sacrament, our sweet Saviour is really present and truly living, although mystically hidden from us, and will dwell in our midst until the end of time." So they truly believe, and don't miss it, they truly believe that Christ is literally present within that wafer and within that blood, because the priest has prayed over it and it has miraculously transformed. Metaphysically, they say. You can't see it. It's an underlying metaphysical transformation that changes the wafer and the wine. You might say, well, Pastor, what is the big issue with that teaching? At the end of the day, does it hurt anyone, even though it's false? Yes, it does. Absolutely. Because this Eucharist and the Mass is the way the Catholic earns their salvation. Listen to this. Roman Catholic the church teaches that through the Eucharist, the graces of salvation are poured out onto the church. This is the works-based faith of the Roman Catholic Church. Here's another quote from the Catholic Catechism, page 389. "Communion with the flesh of the risen Christ preserves, increases, and renews the life of grace given at baptism." So when a Catholic is baptized, they believe their sins are washed away. Those mortal sins are washed away, and the Eucharist increases that saving grace, that justifying grace in the life of a Catholic. The Catholic Church very clearly teaches that the Christian life is a process of being saved, and you're continuously on that journey until you die, and then you realize, well, have you made it or not? You never know. But the Eucharist is meant to increase the graces of salvation. You increase and, in fact, climb the ladder the more often you take the Mass, because you eat the body of Christ. You drink the blood of Christ. He becomes a part of you, and you change more so into Christ's likeness. That's what they believe. They believe that this grace of salvation justifies them before God. And if you sin again, well, you need to confess those sins to a priest and then take the Mass once again to up your level of grace, your level of salvation, should I say, the level of salvation. Therefore, now let me close with this regarding the error of the Eucharist. Therefore, the Eucharist is described as the medicine of immortality and the antidote for death and the food that makes us live forever in Jesus Christ. That's what the Catholic Church clearly states in the Roman Catholic Catechism. I heard about a tragic testimony from my mum when my poor grandmother was passing away as a result of cancer. We're not sure what they believe, but a Catholic priest came in during her last moments. She was already unconscious. She couldn't breathe. She couldn't drink. She ended up dying because of bowel cancer. As she was in her last moments, she couldn't say a word. Her mouth was completely parched. And by the time my mum got to see her, a priest had come in and put a wicked little wafer biscuit on her tongue. That's what he had done. She didn't even know what was going on. That is how firmly the Catholic Church believes in the supernatural, miraculous power of this wafer biscuit to save your soul. That's what they believe. And as Christians, we need to understand why that is wrong. Why is it wrong? Well, let's have a look what the Bible says, and let's have a look at Matthew chapter 26, and let's have a look at what Jesus taught about the biblical Lord's Supper. We need to know the error, but we also need to know the truth. You might say, Pastor, how can I share this with someone else? Well, remember, you don't need to know entirely what the Catholic Church believes. Okay, it's good to study up on these things. I've shared some things with you tonight. And you can get a catechism if you like, have a look for yourself. But the most important thing is we need to know what the Bible says. Because God's truth, thankfully, for a simple-minded person like me, is simple. Amen? It's very clear. And it's very presentable. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter number 26. Let's look at the words that Christ said. Amen? Let's look at what He said at the Lord's table. Notice with me, in Matthew chapter 26, forgive me, the wind is blowing my pages around. Matthew 26. Now, let me bring your attention to one thing before we move on. Remember, according to the Roman Catholic Church, as soon as the priest prays over that wafer biscuit, it is transformed into the body of Christ. As soon as he lifts up the cup and prays over it, it is supernaturally transformed into the blood of Christ. From that point onward, it ceases to become bread and wine, and it now has become and will continue to be the body and the blood of Christ. Now they get that from Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus said in verse 26, "Take, eat, this is my body." Notice that he blessed it and he broke it. And then he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." You might say this evening, "Well, Pastor, he said, this is my body." All right, let's continue on. "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them." Notice he gave thanks. He asked the Lord to bless it. And then he said, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood." This is what the Catholic believes. They say, well, it is his body because the Lord says it was and is, and it is his blood. Now, here's a simple little truth that will help you to share these verses with others. Because notice what the Lord says in verse number 29. "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this" what? Of this what? Fruit of the vine. Hang on a second. If Christ was meant to have transformed these elements into his literal body and literal blood, why does he refer to what's in the cup as the fruit of the vine? Have you ever thought of that before? The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Yes, this is my blood," but when he told the disciples that he'll no longer drink of it until they drink of it with him in the kingdom, he referred to it as the fruit of the vine. Very simple truth. He spoke of it as what it originally was. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ say the fruit of the vine when he was supposed to, according to the Catholic Church, have already miraculously transformed that into his body and his blood? Why does he say it's the fruit of the vine? Let me tell you why. Because it never changed. It was still the fruit of the vine. It was still grape juice, by the way, not alcoholic wine. The fruit of the vine, not wine. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ referred to it as exactly what it was. Exactly what it was. What was it? Well, it was grape juice. And he said, "This is my blood," and we'll talk about that in a moment. But it still remained to be what it always was. Why? Because Jesus said so. By his own words, he contradicted what the Catholic Church believes. It wasn't his blood because he called it the fruit of the vine. Now, is that simple this evening? Does that make sense? Amen. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's reinforce this truth as well. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Again, remember, the Catholic Church says, after the point of blessing, it is the blood and it is the body, literally. And the Lord blessed it, and afterwards he said it's his body and his blood, and that's what it must be. But notice here the account of the Lord's table that the Lord gave to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, notice there with me, verse 24. Familiar verses, the Lord says in 1 Corinthians 11, 24, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Again, 25, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Notice this, verse number 26. For as often as ye eat this body, is that what the Bible says? What does it say? As often as ye eat this bread. Hang on a second, this is after the point that Christ prayed over these elements, is it not? This is after the point that the Catholics teach that these elements were supernaturally transformed. The Bible says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, it is not referred to any longer as the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So the doctrine of transubstantiation, this supernatural transformation, never takes place in the Scriptures. It is not true. It is false. It is not referred to following the fact as the body and the blood of Christ. Now, if Christ had changed the elements, according to Catholicism, into his true body and blood, containing his entire presence, soul, and divinity, my friends, if these elements were to be worshipped and adored as Christ himself, the Lord Jesus would not have referred to these elements as simple bread and simple fruit of the vine. Amen? He referred to them as exactly what they were in the beginning because they never changed. They never changed. And my friends, it's very clear in the Word of God. Nowhere in the Bible are we taught to worship the Eucharist as Christ himself. Nowhere. That's why the Bible says, this do in remembrance of me. It is a time of remembrance. It is a time of thanksgiving and remembrance only. That's the only command the Lord gives regarding the Lord's table. Remember me. He never said worship me and adore me in the presence of the Eucharist. Now, here's another question. You might say, well, Pastor, why did Jesus say, this is my body? Isn't that just going to confuse people? Why didn't he just say something else? And why did he say, this is my blood? I mean, why couldn't he have put it another way? Well, there's a reason for that. Because throughout the teaching of the Lord's earthly ministry, he used figurative language. He used figures of speech throughout his teaching. You may have noticed different teachings in the Bible where the Lord used metaphors and figures of speech. And a figure of speech is where you describe something by comparing it to something else. If I were to say this evening that my wife's hair is silk, I'm not literally saying that she has a garment of silk attached to her scalp and she has a head of silk. No, I would be saying that my wife's hair is just like the material of silk. You use one thing to compare to another in order to teach a truth that's familiar, in order to teach a truth that's understandable. And throughout the teaching of the Lord Jesus, he used figures of speech. He used what we call metaphors, comparing one thing to another. And here are a few of them. On different occasions, the Lord said he referred to his body as the temple. He referred to his body as a temple. He referred to his disciples as salt. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, Brother Huey, are you a literal grain of salt? Absolutely. Definitely this morning, amen. After a bit of sweating. No, it's a figure of speech. What do we understand about salt applies to our Christian life. We learn some wonderful spiritual truths regarding our witness in that. But it's a figure of speech. And that's how the Bible is written. We need to study the Word of God to understand how Christ taught, how he used figures of speech. For example, the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Was he a literal light bulb? Was he a literal flame of fire? No, he was not. He used figures of speech so we could understand a spiritual truth with something we understand in the world today, a lamp or a light. The Lord said, I am the true vine. In biblical days, they understood what a vine was, a grapevine. Remember, the Lord said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. How does that help us to understand the Christian life? Well, he is the foundation and the root of our life. We are offshoots of Christ. If we get away from the Lord, my friends, we can't live the Christian life. We need him for our nourishment and our strength. So many wonderful spiritual truths are taught through figures of speech. I am the vine. And what was the Lord doing here when he said, this is my body? Again, he was using another figure of speech. Matthew chapter 26, when the Lord said, take, eat, this is my body. He was using a figure of speech. He was saying, this is my body, which is broken for you. as that unleavened bread was broken, the Lord was saying, this is just like my body. My body will be beaten, bruised, afflicted for your sins. My body is sinless. And his visage, his appearance was marred beyond recognition. And that is symbolic in the breaking of the bread. And the Lord was saying, this is a symbol of what will happen to me on the cross. This is a symbol of my sacrifice for you in my body. This is my body. It was a figure of speech. And we understand in a more personal way the sufferings of Christ. As we partake of the Lord's table, he has instituted this as a way for you and I to remember him. Then when the Lord said, this is my blood, the Lord was saying, this represents my blood. This is like my blood that is shed for you. The Lord Jesus Christ bled literal, sinless, holy blood on the cross of Calvary. And as we partake of the fruit of the vine, we remember his shed blood. We do not eat his literal body and drink his literal blood. That is a heathen cannibalistic practice. The Lord would never have approved of that. That is the stuff of paganism. But that's the heresy of the Catholic Church today. That's what they believe. But you see, it was symbolic language. That's why the Lord said, this do in remembrance of me. And I like this point. You can share this with a Catholic if they get a little bit nasty with you. You can say, all right, if the Lord said, this is my body, and he meant it literally, what are you going to do when the Lord said, I am the door? Jesus said, I am the door. Are we to bow down at the door of our church and to worship it as the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus said, I am the door. What was he saying? He was using another figure of speech to help us to understand that he is the door to eternal life. We need to trust him as our Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We must enter in through Jesus Christ alone. I am the door. Another wonderful figure of speech. That's simply what he was doing here in the Word of God. I trust that helps you to understand why Jesus said, this is my body. It reinforces the importance of what Christ did for us on the cross so that we can remember him. He never, ever meant that it is his literal body, literal blood. By the way, this belief of the Catholic Church was accepted hundreds of years before, after the Bible was written, hundreds of years after the Word of God was completed. The early believers never believed in this, and the authentic Christians never believed in this. That's why they were slain by Catholics. That's why they were hung, murdered, burnt, crucified, and persecuted, because they did not believe in this all-important summit of the Catholic life. Lastly, let me share some encouraging verses as we approach the Lord's table. The Bible teaches that Christ's sacrifice is not continuing today. It is complete. Christ's sacrifice is once for all. Amen. Have a look with me in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 10. You might like to circle some of these verses. They're very important when it comes to the truth of Christ's sacrifice. The Catholic Church, remember, teaches that the sacrifice on the altar of the church is a continuation of the same sacrifice at Calvary. And in fact, it's worth a new value before God. What does the Bible say about Christ's sacrifice on the cross? Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 12. Let's read verse 12 out loud together, shall we? I've got some words in this verse circled just to help me to remember them. I've got the word one right here in verse 12 circled. Let's read this verse out loud together. Ready? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's a great verse, isn't it? One sacrifice to God, one offering, at the Bible says, that's 13. One sacrifice for sins forever. Forever. That means it is finished. It is complete. When the Lord hung on that cross, remember what he said. He said, it is finished. And that literally means paid in full. The words of a transaction completed. Paid in full. Salvation is once and for all because Christ died once and for all to pay for our sins. Amen. It does not continue into the present. We do not continually sacrifice Christ into the present. That is completely in opposition to the Word of God. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Amen. We need to be nourished up in the doctrine of truth. Amen. That's what apostasy is all about, the warnings of apostasy. We need to be warned, but at the same time, we need to be nourished up in sound doctrine. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Notice what the Bible says. Let's read this again together out loud. Ready? So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Christ is the Savior of our soul. He is coming again. We will be completely and finally delivered, not only from the power of sin, but also from the presence of sin. But the Bible tells us in verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Once. Once alone. Notice Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, again out loud together. 1, 2. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Jesus Christ was offered up only on the cross once for all. He is not to be offered up once again because, my friends, he is risen. He sits on the right hand of the throne of God, and the work of redemption and salvation is complete. Amen. My friends, this is the truth that changed my life. Because I was a Catholic, stuck in thinking that I had to work my way to get to heaven. I had to do things to get right with God continually. But the Bible says that Jesus made us right with God. Jesus paid for your sins and mine. If we would simply repent and turn to Christ, and we will be saved, forgiven, immediately, on the spot, forever, justified, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Roman Catholicism hates to hear. They hate it. Because you see, once you deny this truth, they cannot control your life anymore. The Roman Catholic Church controls everyone's life, don't miss it, from the cradle to the grave. To the moment a child is sprinkled on its forehead from the cradle, it is controlled by the church. From the moment where the last rites are given by the priest, even to an unconscious person that is dying or passed away, they control that person's life from the beginning to the end. That's exactly what they want to do. Control the lives of people. But thank God, ye shall know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth shall set you free. The truth shall set you free. I think one of the most extreme insults of the Catholic Eucharist is that the Mass is of greater value. The sacrifice on the altar of the Catholic Church is of greater value than Christ's work on the cross. That is an absolute tragedy, absolute blasphemy against God. The Bible teaches 1 Peter chapter 1, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. My friends, the Catholic Church cannot provide salvation. Many people ask, brother, do you believe, Pastor, that there are saved people in the Catholic Church? I believe if they're genuinely saved, they will not stay there for long. I believe that God would lead them out and lead them out quickly. If they go back to the Catholic Church, I sincerely believe that they were not saved to begin with. Or they were lured back very quickly. But if you genuinely get saved, you know the difference. You know what you were saved from. You understand it's once and for all. If you didn't understand it was once and for all, you can't ask the Lord to save you. It's not progressive. It is once and for all. The sacrament of the Eucharist is not biblical. It is the doctrine of the devil. And that's the seriousness of the day in which we live. We live in perilous days, do we not? We live in perilous days, perilous times. And we need to know the truth of the Word of God. I trust you've learned some things this evening. I trust you've learned some facts that will help you to be a witness, help you to stay away from error. As history progresses and we continue into the last days, let me warn you, the Catholic Church and its drawing in of Christians will become stronger and stronger. It's taking place already. Already, so-called fundamental Christians are changing their beliefs and moving back to the ecumenical pull of the Catholic Church. You know, the Pope is willing to accept everyone as long as they all come back to Rome, you see. The Catholic Church never changes. They change some things that are non-consequential, but they will never change the sacraments of the Church. They will never change. They make some concessions here and there, but they're not really important things. They've never changed. They've always stuck to what they believe, and they expect everyone to come to them. Christian, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Because the Bible is the truth of God's Word, and I hope you've seen this evening, that the Word of God is completely in opposition to the error of the Eucharist. And thank God this evening, amen, we can be in a Bible-believing church that simply believes the truth. I trust that's a comfort to your heart. I trust that you're not taking that for granted, that we can be in a church of true Bible-believing faith this evening. And we can worship the Lord tonight as He desired us to. We can say thank you to the Lord and remember Him exactly how He wanted us to in the beginning. The bread pictures and symbolizes the sufferings and the broken body of Christ. The pure grape juice symbolizes His pure, spotless, holy blood that was shed for our sins. As we partake, we simply do this in remembrance of Him. Let's take a moment this evening to prepare our hearts for the Lord's table.